Welcome back to Meteorology Matters. Usually we dive deep into the world of weather, right? But today, we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to look at something that's got the entire scientific community kind of buzzing and, concerned.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something that I think impacts all of us in a really big way. So
Absolutely, yeah.
scientists across the U.S., they're trading their lab coats for protest signs. And it's not just about like a specific research project or a funding cut or something. It's something much bigger.
Much bigger.
They believe science itself is under threat.
It's a pretty significant claim when you think about it.
That's right. We're seeing this really remarkable wave of activism from scientists and researchers across really all disciplines. And, that does make you step back and think, what is going on here? What is causing this?
So let's break this down. What has sparked this kind of sudden surge in scientific activism? Well, it's interesting. You can really trace the roots of this current movement back to, a series of policy changes and budget cuts that really started gaining momentum during President Trump's second term. And we're talking about, funding freezes for research that a lot of scientists consider vital. Even grant reviews that a lot of people see as really targeting diversity initiatives. And there have even been mass layoffs of federal scientists.
Wow. It sounds like a lot of scientists are feeling like the very foundation of their work is being undermined.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just, theoretical principles or sort of abstract ideas. This is having real-world consequences for people. I mean, you just look at some of the major institutions, the National Institutes of Health, the National Science Foundation, even NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmosphere Administration. They've all experienced significant budget cuts, and that directly impacts the amount of research that they can do.
And it trickles down to universities and research institutions all across the country too, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about a place like the University of Connecticut, for example. A lot of their research programs are heavily reliant on grants that they get from the National Science Foundation. And so when that funding dries up, well, that's going to slow down the pace of discovery. And ultimately, that affects all of us.
Out of this frustration, right? This feeling that maybe their voices aren't being heard, a movement has kind of bubbled up. It's called Stand Up for Science.
That's right. It's really interesting because this isn't just, a few disgruntled scientists that are complaining. This is a really organized effort. Stand Up for Science is planning a nationwide protest, and it's happening on March 7th, 2025, so in just a couple of weeks. And it's not just one location. We're talking about rallies that are planned in 32 major cities across the country.
32 cities.
Yeah, and it's all going to culminate with this main event in Washington, D.C.
That's a pretty significant mobilization effort. It sounds like they're really trying to send a loud and clear message.
Oh, absolutely. Their goal is to make it crystal clear to the government that science is vital to our society. It benefits everyone, and it needs to be protected. It needs to be shielded from this kind of political interference.
It's interesting because scientists, by nature, they're often trained to be objective, right? To focus on data, to focus on evidence.
Absolutely.
But yet here they are. They're stepping out of their labs, they're stepping out of the classroom, and they're stepping into the streets. They're becoming advocates for their work.
Yeah, and you know what I think is really compelling about this is that these aren't just, nameless, faceless researchers that are part of this movement. These are real people with personal stories who are putting themselves out there, and they're leading this movement. And I think that really humanizes this whole struggle for science in a way that we haven't seen before.
It does. And, we have people like Colette Dellawala. She's a PhD candidate in clinical psychology at Emory University. And we have Emma Courtney. She's a PhD candidate in biology at Cold Spring Harbor Laboratory. These are people who are stepping outside of their comfort zone. They're becoming the face of this movement. And like you said, it really does humanize this whole struggle for science.
Yeah, and I think it also just highlights the sense of urgency that a lot of these researchers are feeling. I mean, this isn't just about some academic disagreement. They're not just, nitpicking about data points. They see these changes as a real existential threat to the scientific enterprise itself.
Now, this isn't the first time that we've seen scientists rally for science.
That's true.
Back in 2017, during Trump's first term, we saw the March for Science. So how does this Stand Up for Science movement compare to that earlier effort?
Well, I think there's some interesting distinctions. While the March for Science was this global event that drew, huge crowds and generated a lot of media buzz, I think the Stand Up for Science movement is a little bit more targeted. It seems to be more focused on specific policy changes. They're not just trying to get attention. They're actually directly engaging with lawmakers. They're pushing for specific legislation.
So it's less about raising awareness and more about actually taking action.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
They're not just making noise. They have a really clear set of demands.
Okay.
And they seem to have a real strategy in place for achieving them.
Hmm.
And, you know, that kind of brings us to this whole debate about the politicization of science.
Right.
Is science inherently political?
Yeah.
Or is it something that should be completely separate from the political arena?
That's a really tough question because on the one hand, you know, science is supposed to be objective.
Right.
It's supposed to be driven by data and evidence.
That's right.
But on the other hand, we can't ignore the fact that government funding decisions play a huge role in shaping the direction of scientific research.
They do, absolutely. And it's a tricky balance to strike.
It is.
And then, you know, even beyond that, there's this whole question of whether scientists should engage in political activism at all.
Right.
You know, some people argue that it compromises their objectivity.
Right.
Or that it alienates segments of the public.
Yeah. Take, for instance, you know, Nature's endorsement of Joe Biden in the 2020 election.
Oh, right.
You know, some people argued that that move actually eroded trust in scientists among Trump supporters.
That's a valid point, and I think it really highlights the potential risks that scientists face when they take these kind of overtly political stances.
So it seems like scientists are facing this real dilemma.
They are.
They feel compelled to speak out against policies that they see as really harmful to science.
Right.
But at the same time, they're worried about jeopardizing their credibility and, you know, public trust.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a delicate tightrope walk, and it's one that's at the heart of this whole Stand Up for Science movement.
So let's talk about the specifics here.
Yeah.
What are the concrete goals of Stand Up for Science? What exactly are they demanding?
Well, they've actually laid out a pretty comprehensive set of policy proposals. And I think first and foremost, they're calling for increased funding for scientific research.
Makes sense.
You know, they argue that current funding levels are simply inadequate to address the pressing challenges that our society is facing.
You can't expect groundbreaking discoveries without the resources to actually back them up.
Exactly. You've got to have the money to do the research.
What else is on their agenda?
Well, they're also demanding an end to what they perceive as censorship and political interference in research.
Mm.
You know, they argue that scientists need to have the freedom to pursue their work without fear of reprisal, without being afraid of political pressure. They need to be able to follow the evidence wherever it leads.
Which is crucial because if research is being suppressed or manipulated for political reasons, that undermines the entire scientific process.
Absolutely. It really does. And then finally, you know, they're advocating for greater diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility in science.
Okay.
They really believe that science should be open to everyone, regardless of background or identity, and that a more diverse scientific community is ultimately going to lead to, you know, richer insights and more robust discoveries.
That's a message that resonates far beyond the scientific community, I think.
It does.
It's about ensuring that everyone has the opportunity to contribute to and benefit from scientific progress.
Yeah, I think that's right. So they've got their demands. They've laid them out. The question is, are those demands going to be heard? And what role can the public play in amplifying those voices?
That's a key question.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, this isn't just a fight for scientists. This affects all of us.
It really does.
Science impacts our lives in countless ways.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, from the technology we use to the medicines that we rely on to the very air that we breathe.
Absolutely.
So for those of you listening, what can you do to actually get involved in this movement?
Well, I think there are a number of ways that people can make a difference. First, you know, consider attending a local Stand Up for Science rally.
Right.
There are events planned all over the country. So chances are there's probably one happening near you.
And if you can't make it to a rally, you can participate in the planned walkout that's happening at noon on March 7th.
Yeah.
It's a symbolic act of solidarity, but, you know, it really does send a powerful message of support.
It does. And even if you can't physically attend an event, you know, there are still other ways to contribute. You could sign petitions, you can contact your elected officials, or you can support scientific organizations that align with your values. I think every voice counts in this fight.
It's not just about showing up. It's about staying informed.
Yeah.
Having conversations with your friends and family.
Absolutely.
About why science matters and engaging in, you know, thoughtful debate.
Right.
About the role of science in our society.
I think this whole movement has sparked a really crucial conversation about the relationship between science politics and public perception. And it's a conversation that we all need to be a part of.
It is, and hopefully we've kind of given you some things to think about with this whole situation, stand up for science. And like you said, it's a conversation that we all need to be having. And we'll be back next time with part two of our coverage of this whole situation, with scientists protesting and marching and trying to make sure that science is protected in this country.
I'll see you then.
Okay, sounds good. This whole situation, it really makes you think about that delicate balance between science and politics. Like, they're these two separate worlds, but they're constantly bumping up against each other.
Yeah, it's a very complex relationship for sure. And I think, looking back at history can actually give us some valuable perspective on how this dynamic has played out over time.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, we often think of science as this, pure pursuit of knowledge, but it's never really existed in a vacuum, right? It's always been intertwined with the social and political currents of the time.
Exactly. I mean, think about Galileo, for example. His groundbreaking astronomical observations, they directly challenged the dominant religious views of the
You're
time.
right.
And then, a few centuries later, you have Darwin. His theory of evolution sparked these really fierce debates, and they had repercussions far beyond just the scientific community.
Those are perfect examples. It seems like whenever scientific discoveries challenge the status quo, whenever they force us to re-examine our long-held beliefs, it inevitably triggers a backlash.
Absolutely. Those in positions of power, those who benefit from the existing order, they often feel threatened by new scientific knowledge,
Right.
and their first instinct is to try to discredit the science or to silence the scientists.
That makes sense. And we're seeing this play out today with climate change, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the scientific evidence is overwhelming, but there are these powerful interests that are actively trying to sow doubt and downplay the risks.
Precisely. And it's not just climate change. We see similar tactics being used to undermine confidence in vaccines, genetic engineering, even basic scientific principles like evolution.
It's almost like there's this constant struggle for control over the narrative.
Yeah.
Who gets to decide what's true, what's acceptable, and what gets funded?
That's a great way to put it. It's a battle for hearts and minds. And ultimately, it's a battle over the future direction of our society.
So, in the midst of all of this, where do scientists themselves stand? And what role should they play in this battle? Should they just stay in their labs, focus on their research, or should they step into the public arena and become advocates for their work?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question. There are valid arguments to be made on both sides.
Right.
On the one hand, scientists are trained to be objective, unbiased. Their credibility really hinges on their ability to let the data speak for itself,
Right.
to not let their personal opinions cloud their judgment.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But if scientists stay silent, especially when they see, scientific integrity being undermined or scientific findings being distorted for political gain, then who will speak up?
That's a really important point, and it's a dilemma that a lot of scientists are grappling with right now. It's this delicate balancing act,
Yeah.
navigating between the imperative to remain objective and the responsibility to defend the integrity of science.
It sounds like the Stand Up for Science movement, they've made the decision that the risks of silence outweigh the risks of speaking out.
I think that's right. They're willing to step outside of their comfort zones to engage in a more public and political way, even if it means facing criticism or backlash.
It's a bold move.
Yeah.
And they're not alone. We're seeing similar movements gaining momentum all around the world.
Yeah.
As scientists grow increasingly concerned about the erosion of public trust in science and the spread of misinformation.
Yeah, it's definitely a global phenomenon, and I think it reflects a deeper anxiety about the future of our planet, the stability of our institutions, and the very foundations of knowledge itself.
It's like a wake-up call, reminding us that science isn't just some abstract pursuit that's divorced from the real world. It's inextricably linked to our social, our political, and our economic systems.
And those systems are facing unprecedented challenges right now. I mean, we're living in an era of, heightened polarization, widespread distrust of institutions, and this overwhelming deluge of information,
Right.
much of it unreliable. And that makes it more difficult than ever to have, rational, evidence-based conversations about complex issues.
So how do we ensure that science can continue to play its vital role in guiding our decisions, informing public policy, and shaping the future, especially in this challenging environment that we're in?
That's the crucial question we need to be asking ourselves. And I think it's not simply about providing more funding for research or training more scientists. It's about cultivating a societal mindset that values evidence-based reasoning, critical thinking, and a willingness to engage with complex, often uncomfortable truths.
We need to foster a culture that recognizes that science isn't about being right or wrong all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a process of continual exploration, questioning and revising our understanding of the world based on new evidence.
Mm.
And sometimes that means acknowledging that we were wrong, you know, that our previous assumptions were flawed.
Absolutely. Embracing uncertainty, being open to new evidence, and engaging in respectful dialogue. I mean, those are all essential components of a healthy scientific mindset.
And that mindset needs to extend beyond the scientific community itself.
Yeah.
It needs to permeate our media, our education systems, and our political discourse.
You're absolutely right. I mean, we need to equip everyone with the tools to critically evaluate information, to distinguish between credible evidence and misleading claims, and to engage in constructive conversations about complex issues, even when those conversations are difficult.
That's a tall order, but it seems essential if we want to navigate the challenges of the 21st century.
It is essential. And it all starts with recognizing that science isn't just for scientists.
Right.
It's for all of us. It's the foundation of our knowledge. It's the driver of our progress. And it's the key to solving the most pressing problems facing humanity.
It's a shared responsibility, isn't it?
Yeah.
To protect the integrity of science.
Sure.
To ensure that it's used for the benefit of all. And to create a future where knowledge and reason guide our decisions.
Absolutely. It's a responsibility that we all share. And the choices that we make today will determine whether science continues to be a force for good in the world or whether it becomes another casualty of our polarized and fractured times.
You know, we've been talking about this Stand Up for Science movement and this growing tension, you know, between science and politics. And I think it's left us all with a lot to think about.
It certainly has. And, you know, as we wrap up our conversation here, it feels like the big question that's looming is what happens next? You know, these rallies that are planned,
right.
They're a powerful statement.
Right.
It's a great way to sort of energize the scientific community and to get the public's attention. But, you know, how do we keep that momentum going? A spark needs fuel, you right. know, if you want to turn it into a real fire.
That's true. So where does that fuel come from?
Well, I think it comes from a few sources. First, there's the, you know, the unwavering passion of the scientists themselves. I mean, they're the ones that are out there on the front lines,
yeah.
doing the research, they're making the discoveries, and they're seeing firsthand how political decisions can really impact their work, and in some cases, actually hinder progress.
They're the ones who are taking a stand.
Yeah.
They're putting their reputations on the line, and they're pushing for change.
Exactly. And you know, it's not just about the scientists themselves. There's this growing realization, I think, among the general public that science isn't just this abstract thing. It's woven into the very fabric of our lives.
Right.
You know, from the medications that we rely on, to the technology that we use every day, to the food that we eat. Mm. And so as people become more aware of how deeply science influences their lives, they're more likely to demand that it be protected and supported.
That makes sense. What else?
Well, there's also the power of collective action. And, you know, that's really what the Stand Up for Science movement is all about. It's about mm-hmm. uniting people, amplifying their voices, and making sure that those voices are heard by the people in power.
It's about, you know, forging alliances, harnessing resources, and ultimately applying pressure on decision makers to prioritize policies that benefit society as a whole.
Yeah. And, you know, importantly, it's about recognizing that science really transcends political boundaries. I mean, this is not a partisan issue.
Right.
This is a human issue.
It affects us all.
It affects all of us, regardless of our political affiliations.
So if there's one message that we want our listeners to take away from this episode, it's this. Get involved. Find your own way to support science, whether it's attending a rally or reaching out to your elected officials or even just discussing these issues with your friends and family.
Yeah, become a citizen scientist. Stay informed, stay engaged, and, you know, don't hesitate to speak up for what you believe in.
Because science belongs to everyone, not just the scientists, not just the politicians, not just the academics. It's a shared endeavor. And the future of science really depends on all of us working together to champion its cause and to protect its integrity. As always, thanks for joining us on Meteorology Matters. For more weather insights and to stay updated on this crucial conversation, make sure to follow meteorologist Rob Jones. You can find him on Instagram at Meteorologist, on TikTok as TV Meteorologist, and on YouTube, subscribe to Rob Jones Hurricane, where you can also find the Meteorology Matters podcast playlist. Until next time, stay curious and keep those minds storming.